goes astray, and the flame dies away. You walk the lonesome night.
That, of course, is When Love Goes Astray. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Divorce Hour, and I am your host, Larry Bloom. We don't want love to go astray today. We want to find love. And I am so pleased to have with me Marnie Gallison, who is the owner, founder,
president,
you name it.
Chairman, CEO.
Chairman of the board of Sunday at Noon. And we're going to talk about dating. Marnie has a boyfriend, so guys, don't hit on her on the show, and I'll try not to hit on her as well. However, we're gonna ask questions today all about returning to the dating world following your divorce. If you have a question, please call in 877-480-4120. Hi, Marnie.
Good morning.
Nice to have you here. Thank you for trekking in the snow.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Okay. What do you do? Why are you here?
I'm here to help your listeners find love, and that's what I do full time.
So you are a dating coach and a matchmaker.
Yes, I do. I have many roles, but definitely the coaching is instrumental prior to and during the matching and even after the matching. I also do some relationship coaching.
Ooh, that sounds interesting too. But trust me, guys, she does not look like Molly Picon Yenta in Fiddler on the Roof, the matchmaker.
Thank you. I'm a few years younger.
A couple of years younger.
Modern matchmaking.
And you were one of us before, correct? You're a reformed lawyer.
Can I still be one of you? I think you can take the girl out of the courtroom, but you can't take the lawyer out of the girl.
Okay.
I have used my law degree in so many ways in matchmaking. You might be surprised. But 10 years, yeah, of practicing.
Okay. And how long have you been in your current line of work?
I left practicing law in April of 2008.
Okay. So you got 3 years experience. Put any marriages together?
Very close.
Ooh,
I have, you know, it, I'd say I left my firm. If anyone knows who started a business, takes a few minutes to get up and running, get your site up.
Don't I know that.
Let people know you exist. And I'd say really in the fall of 08, I was really in earnest, fully running. And, you know, there are people who have been close and then things don't work out. But I have clients living together, traveling together, saying I love you, and there's someone very soon.
That's great. That's absolutely wonderful. I want to know, how do you use your law degree you do?
It's a great question. I get a lot of looks sometimes. You were an attorney, now you do matchmaking and some scratching, you know, of your heads. Actually, there's a lot that transfers into what I do. As anyone who's a lawyer like yourself knows, I mean, there's an analytical way of thinking as a lawyer, a logical way of thinking. That way I can come in. There's a lot of emotion in what I do, but I can try and separate the emotion and just look at the facts. And also, you know, I think you know I was a prosecutor. And as a prosecutor, you have to be able to read jurors, you have to be able to read your witnesses and kind of cut through the BS and really, you know, figure out what someone's about.
And ask the appropriate question on cross-examination.
For sure. And I do that for my clients, with my clients, when I'm screening people for my clients. It's a huge asset. And I don't know if they can even teach you that in law school. That's something you bring when you can read people.
That's true. It's like driving a car. You don't learn to drive a car until you've got your license and you're soloing.
Sure. It's a combination of experience and innate, you know.
Well, that brings us back to dating. Now, let's take me, because as all my listeners know, this show is about me. It's all about me. Married for 25 years. When is the right time? And divorced. When is the right time to return to the dating world?
That's a great question. Now, I don't know enough of your unique situation to really speculate, but my answer would be in general, and we can apply it to you and, you know, go from there. But I think you have to be pretty far along in your healing process. And I'm sure anyone who's listening that is going through a divorce or is divorced is going to understand this. I know that there's a definite reaction that most people have. They want to go right out to dating. They want to...
Isn't that more men?
Very much men.
Okay.
Though some women are guilty of it too, but men are definitely looking to make up for, I'm just going to say it,
Lost time.
And there's a mixed blessing in doing that. And if you're not really through the healing process, and I know you've had grief coach counselors on your show, and right. you've had people who specialize in this, I think you need to get there. You may not be fully finished because it can be years, and I wouldn't recommend waiting years to get out there, but you should be at least far along in the process so that you can go into a date and dating in a really healthy emotional and mental mindset.
And I know the number one no-no on a date is to talk about your divorce or your ex.
You got it. You know this, and I'm sure you don't do it. I can't tell you how many times I hear it happens, and we can talk more about why that is really such a bad use of your time on your date. I mean, for so many reasons.
There are a lot of bad things to do on dates. I've learned the hard way what the bad things... That one I haven't done.
Great.
But I've done a number of other ones.
And you're smiling, because you know what? If you have fun with it, you learn from your mistakes and you move on. That's part of the process.
It's as simple as this. This is my philosophy on law.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay? All human beings are capable of making mistakes. Judges are human beings. That's why there are appellate courts.
I love it.
Okay? That's my theory on practicing law. And I have run to the appellate division in both states I practice in on numerous occasions. So, you know, because I've had people say... Actually, they're my friends' wives have said to me, you can't date right away. You've got to find yourself. And my response to them was, but I'm attention and affection starved. I really do need to go out.
Well, you know, everyone has an opinion, obviously, on when other people should do what with their lives. And you can judge your source and decide whose advice you want to take. But I can understand that, Eden. I'm not even saying it's a bad thing. All I'm saying is manage your expectations when you start. Do it carefully. Do it wisely. And then you're going to protect yourself and also take into consideration the recipient, especially for men, because they may be looking to just date around, but the woman on the other end, that might not be her objective. And I'm just going to say it regarding sex. They may be looking to make up for a lack of intimacy for a very long time, and they can get into some very dangerous water.
We're 9 minutes into the show, and you gave me the three-letter word that I was saving for at least the second half hour. We're going to talk about not sex right away because I have other questions. Because you got to do something before you get to sex.
For sure.
I am here with Marnie Gallison of Sunday at Noon. And this is the Divorce Hour. I am Larry Bloom here at TalkingAlternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you feeling overwhelmed in the current chaos of our changing times? A deeper understanding of authentic astrology can uncover solutions in every area of life. After all, metaphysics is just quantum physics, poetically expressed. I am Montgomery Taylor, and I offer lectures, seminars, and private consultations. For more information, contact me at Monty, M-O-N-T-Y, at rljmedia.com.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant, helping conscious people be better business people.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind over matter, health and fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind over matter, health and fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Should I stay or should I go? Well, that decision has already been made. We have left. Now the question is, how can we get a new relationship? I am here with Marnie Gallison. Marnie, tell our listeners how they can reach you.
Well, first, they can find me on my website on the web. It's sundayatnoon.com. And you can check out my site, maybe read some of my blogs. I love to write, and I have over 40 blogs that touch all sorts of topics. And then there's a contact form, and you can go to the contact link, send me an email, send me your basic information, and we can go from there.
Great.
Oh, and I'll also add, I have a page on Facebook, a fan page. So if you just put in Marnie Gallison, New York City Matchmaker, you'll find me there as well.
Okay, great. What did I want to ask you? Something. Computer dating or face-to-face? What do you recommend? You know, through friends or through a matchmaker?
All of the above.
Okay, all of the above. And do you help people write their profiles?
Absolutely, I do. I can tell you that that's something I really enjoy doing, and I can add tremendous value because I've seen, I have my own views on online dating, which we can get into if you care to, but it's certainly a good resource. Why not? Among other avenues. But one thing I find is a lot of people who are great at marketing other people at their jobs, they're not really that skilled at marketing themselves. And that is what there's thousands of profiles online. You need to stand out. So that's another, outside of the matchmaking, an additional service I offer is just a 1-hour consultation with online profiles.
Oh, that's great. Let's talk about Sunday at Noon. What does that mean? Where'd you get that name?
The name Sunday at Noon came from my original concept about ideal dating in New York. And in my personal opinion, I think a Sunday brunch is a perfect first date. I love the idea of sitting down and breaking bread, having a meal with somebody, as opposed to a quick coffee or even a quick drink, where you're sitting and getting to know that person, taking out alcohol, which sometimes can be problematic, taking out the stress of Monday through Friday workday, which any New Yorker knows.
Yeah, you lunch come, is tough.
And lunch is almost impossible.
Lunch is tough.
I would say that that's a very dangerous thing to set up a lunch date as a lawyer, as a, you know, a professional in New York, because you just don't know what your day is going to bring. And even if you can make it, you're coming with all that work stress behind you, and then you're going back to it. Sunday, hopefully you're not working, but if you have to work, it's later in the day, and you can just come in as your relaxed, you know, most best self.
Okay. And that's what you recommend?
I do recommend it. You know, ultimately, I defer to my clients. If my clients say my schedule is best, you know, meeting for drinks, or I just feel more comfortable meeting drinks, that's fine. I don't allow coffee, and I don't allow dinner for a first date.
Good. I'm happy to hear that, because I find that if you're at a dinner with somebody and you don't click with them.
Well, for sure. And I want to just clarify regarding my business. I think if you've been out socially and you meet somebody and you already have that chemistry, dinner can be a great first date.
Oh, I agree
with you. But in the context of blind date or online dating, you don't want to commit yourself to a full evening, because the person could be a lovely person. But if they're not nice, you know, right for you, I think you can spend an hour over brunch or an hour over drinks and politely, you know, wrap up your date.
Fair enough. Now, I know you have two people that work for you.
I have two associates and a wonderful intern.
Okay.
And two wonderful associates.
Okay. And they're all female, correct?
They are all female.
Are you good at helping the women with their profiles?
You know, it's funny because the two associates I have are both in relationships with lovely boyfriends. And my intern is a senior at Marymount, and her focus right now is finishing her studies and schools. And they're all, if you haven't been on my site, all beautiful girls, so they don't need a whole lot of help. But I give them advice when I can as a mentor because this is what I do, and I have a few years on them, and I love to help them when I can.
Well, I know that this is not the forum for saying this, but I've always wanted to be able to help women with their online profiles.
You have?
Yes, I have. Why? Because I don't want to see your dogs in your pictures. If you have one picture, we're concerned. I only have one. But if we have one picture, we're concerned about why you only have one. And if you have more than 10, we're concerned about you being a little narcissistic.
Well, I'm going to start with what's good for the goose has to be good for the gander. Is that the right expression? If you only have one, we got to get you having a few more up there yourself. Because I can say men, and as well as women, do not always put their best profile. I think if you want to come on board as a consultant with the profiles, I welcome a man's input.
I'm not looking for a job.
You can do pro bono.
I consider it a hobby.
Let's see.
Public service, if you will.
All right. You're coming to my office next, and we'll work together. Okay. But I definitely think men and women, most people, could improve their profiles.
Okay.
And you just, I mean, all the things you just said. Yes, one picture, you're probably not getting clicked on, or you're getting clicked onto, and then pretty frequently you're not going to be contacted.
Now, I also know there are generic profiles.
Absolutely.
And, you know, they're almost not worth a second look. Even no matter how beautiful they are, they're not worth a second look.
Well, that's absolutely true. I will say this. Among the things that I do, I mean, when we're talking about how do you get started after divorce.
Okay, let's just tie
that in, it's the easiest and fastest thing to do. Turn on your computer, put up a profile, and start meeting people. Outside of the computer, you should be physically going to events, networking, letting people know you're ready, you'd love to be introduced. Possibly using a matchmaker or a dating service. There's so many ways, but the thing that people tend to do first is online because they've been married for so many years, and now this is a whole supermarket of people. But then it's not just one thing to put up your picture and just say, I want to meet someone nice, caring, and wonderful, because anyone who's looking at that's going to say, well, that's me. I think you need to really be clear about what you're looking for and describe who you are in a way that, like we talked about, stands out. You have competition. You know, this is a tough city for dating, for divorce, for people who've never been married. You need to learn that you're marketing yourself.
Okay. Let's talk. Oh, excuse me. Let's talk about how do you determine how you're going to match someone with? What's the process? I go to you and I call you up and I say, Marnie, I'm looking for a new relationship. How can you help me? And what do we do?
Sure. Okay. So the first thing I always ask of everyone is to send me the contact submission on my site so I can just learn a little bit of basic background about you and what you're looking for. That's the starting point. Assuming I look at your background and what you're looking for and I think that I can help you achieve that, then we have a phone consultation. That's where I get to learn just even more about you, asking you some questions. Certainly if someone comes to me who's divorced early on, I just want to know, you know, what happens? So tell me about it. If you join as a client, we're going to get really much more into that, but give me a sense. What are you looking for? I'm assessing, frankly, up front, is this person realistic? Is this person ready? Can I work with this person?
Okay.
Assuming I can, and again, not everyone is someone I can work with for a variety of reasons, but I only want to take on people I think we're going to have great success together. At that point, then we set up an interview. If they join, become my client, we spend 2 hours together, really getting to know me, getting to know that my client. I'm a talker, as most attorneys are, but at that point, I'm now the listener.
But we're also good listeners as well.
Absolutely. And I listen and I remember, maybe to the chagrin of my boyfriend or others. I don't forget. But when I'm in my role of taking the facts from my client, I'm asking questions, expanding on things. So I walk away from that interview really getting to know you and knowing what happened in your prior relationships and why didn't they work out and what are you looking for the future. And there's two things that come out of that. One is me getting to know my clients, because I really ultimately know my clients very well. We work together for a little bit over a year, and during that time, it's a very personal relationship. But in addition to that, I'm listening to them about what are they looking for. Sometimes what they think they're looking for is not really what's the right thing for them. And I'm going to use my own subtle and sometimes not so subtle way of directing them towards someone I think could be a very good match. And then ultimately, I'm using my instincts, which you talked about in the beginning, my feeling about people, my ability to read people, to then go through my database and who do I think is going to be a good match. Sometimes we nail it first one, and sometimes it's a little bit of a, you know, process. After a few dates, we really figure out who are you going to connect with.
I have so many questions.
We need more than an hour.
I have. Then maybe we'll do another show. But I have so many questions, and I am sure my listeners have questions. Phone number 877-480-4120. If you don't call in with questions, I get a free hour consultation. I suggest you call in. I am here with Marnie Gallison on the Divorce Hour. I am Larry Bloom, and this is TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Is your marriage in trouble? Are you considering divorce? Hello, I'm Lawrence Bloom, a family law attorney in New York and New Jersey. No one is happier than the day their divorce is final. My firm can help you. We take the nasty out of the divorce process and make people happy. Please call us at 212-964-3502 for a free consultation. That's Lawrence H. Bloom at 212-964-3502. We make people happy.
Are you suffering from aches and pains? Has traditional medicine let you down? Are you tired of taking toxic medications? Then come to the Double Diamond Wellness Center and learn how our natural methods can help you to heal. Call us now at 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. Or find us on the web at www.doublediamondwellness.com. We look forward to serving you.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Do you think I'm sexy? I guess you don't ask that question on a first date.
I think I would advise against that.
That's a bad one.
Although it could be part of someone's charm, potentially. But I would recommend waiting at least to the second.
There you go. Okay. Perhaps you heard my trainer shows when I recited the mantra, I am a god, I am sexy.
I did hear that. I love it.
Okay. I know from looking at your site that you host a number of events.
I do.
And is that like the mixer on The Bachelor or on the Millionaire Matchmaker?
A great question. They're a little bit different. For starters, most of my events revolve around an activity.
And I noticed that a lot of them are charitable in nature.
Absolutely. That's right. I wouldn't say everyone, but I would say the majority of my events are related to some type of charitable undertaking, whether you probably saw making sandwiches for the homeless at the New York Rescue Mission, which I've done 2 years in a row now.
I would imagine that's Thanksgiving.
It was around between Thanksgiving and Christmas, okay, the first year, and right around Thanksgiving this past year. And what I love about doing an event like that is you're getting people together. You know, they can feel good about what they're doing, whether or not they meet somebody.
Right.
They've used their afternoon in a way that they can feel good. They can talk about it on a future date because people like to hear that kind of thing, that you're doing interesting things. And that would be one tip when we get to a couple of the tips I want to give people who are coming out of a divorce, which actually would apply to anybody in the dating world. But those types of events, I think, get people together, even if it's a sailing. I did a sailing thing for the Riverkeeper in the Hudson, and they, you know, they keep the Hudson River clean. It's something you can say, okay, my ticket is being used for something good, and if I meet someone while I'm at it, even better. My events are not with one man and 20 women. You know, I try to really balance the equal numbers, men to women. And what I tell my clients is, you're coming on with me, and during this period, we're going to work together. In addition to the one-on-one introductions, which, you know, that's obviously very personal, and that person's been cherry-picked from my client, I want you to come to every event that you can, make it a priority, because part of the reason why some people are coming to me, they're not meeting people, is they're working long hours, they don't have the exposure. And so I say make it a priority, because you never know who you're going to meet, and you never know who you're going to connect with.
And you never know where you're going to meet them either.
I think anywhere is a good place to meet somebody. Obviously, my events being one of those places, but there are a million things going on in Manhattan. And it could even be walking down the street. If you put the right energy out and you look your best and you feel your best, it truly can be anywhere. And I have a good friend.
I don't know about walking down the street.
Larry, my very good friend is seriously involved with someone she met on walking down the street. I kid you not. So when I tell you, she had the right energy, and it happened.
And he must have had better game than me.
You know what? His friend had good game. but he capitalized on it.
Okay.
You know, you should have good wing women, good wingmen for you that can help you.
Funny you should say that. The best wingman I ever had in my life was a woman.
Perfect.
I met somebody every time. She was my friend. Every time I went out with her, I would meet somebody and date them.
She's a great friend.
That's a great
friend. Hopefully you're still hanging out with her.
Nah, she lives in Atlanta.
Oh, too bad. but there's a reason behind that, I'm sure you know. But, you know, they've done a lot of psychological studies on what I do, a tremendous amount of reading on the science and psychology of attraction and love and dating. I love learning why do we do what we do. We don't even know why we're doing it. But research has studied the brain now. They can, you know, figure out what part of our brains get stimulated with certain, you know, images, not just sexual, but what do we associate with colors and so on. So when you have a good wing woman, and that woman is with you and smiling in a way,
right,
she's vouched for you. Another woman will say, well, if this woman likes him, he must be a decent guy.
He must be okay.
The danger is you have to make it clear this is not your girlfriend, which I'm sure you managed to do.
Yeah, because we have that kind of relationship.
But if you have a opposite sex or same sex friend who cannot be in competition with you, if it's going to be same sex, but really be there to support you, even a married friend could be a person to go out with, and, you know, in the beginning, until you make new friendships with people who are single. But definitely use your friends and family as a support system.
But you got to use positive people.
No question.
I was talking to my best friend in the whole world today, and I said to him, "Man, you're the prophet of doom. Could you give me any positive reinforcement?" Because I was talking about a potential date. And at least I got him to laugh. But every time, you know, I don't go to him for dating advice, because, even though he's my closest friend in the world, because he's so negative.
Sure. Well, I think you're making the right choice. You can go to him for business matters, whatever else that you feel he gives you positive reinforcement. But if it's someone who's negative and is going to find fault in your prospective date, or somebody who is not supportive of you, then you have to avoid him. Because I can tell you, this is, if I could get a few messages across today, this is one of the top. People react positively to people who come into the date happy, with a fun, light, easygoing demeanor.
A smile, I would imagine, is
important. A smile, huge. And it sounds so obvious, I think people hear it, but they're not listening. I have heard many responses from dates. The feedback after a date that I set up, I get a debriefing on both sides. So I'm the neutral party. I can hear both sides and share with the other person. But the one thing I will say, when people go to a date and there's negative energy or even neutral energy, but it's not light and fun. You know, you're talking about the shootings in Tucson, or, you know, you're talking about current events and you're not making it fun. There's a very good chance you're not getting a second date. If people laugh and they're having fun, when I think you'd really bring that to your dates, they might not have felt immediate chemistry the minute you walk in, but now they leave that date thinking, I had a good time. And
right,
that's what people are looking for, at least to start.
There are so many questions I have, but Joe is on line one with a question. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Larry. This is
Joe, a woman. Hello, Joe. Mm-hmm.
Hi, I have a question.
Okay.
First of all, I'm not listening to the broadcasting because for some reason it's not coming through on my computer, but I know the subject that we're discussing today. My question is, Marnie, if you meet somebody, I'm a widow. I'm not divorced. So what happens if you meet somebody and there's a lot of chemistry and you're going out with this person for a while and you really like this person? How do you know when it's time to say, listen, I don't want to date anybody else. I would just like to date you. How do you know when that time is there?
That's a great question. First, I just want to say my condolences and I'm sorry about your loss. I think divorce and loss of a loved one, it's not so dissimilar. There are a lot of books on this topic and they treat them really much the same. A divorce
it's a loss.
As Larry knows
death
well.
Death of a marriage.
So I'm very sorry, but that's a great question about, you know, if you're moving on and you thank God you've met someone that you actually feel that way about, now you're being new in the game again. How do you convey, I'm not interested in seeing other people, and I hope you're not, and I'd like to be exclusive. And again, I say this to a lot of people. Each person's circumstances are going to be a bit unique. How long have you been dating? You know, how intimate have you gotten? And that own person's background and baggage. But I think it's a conversation when you start to feel that you're both putting in the time and energy into the relationship that you're on the same page. If you bring it up and the man's reaction is to run the opposite way. Steve Harvey wrote a great book, Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man. And I like that book because it tells women you're entitled to ask these questions. You know, where is this going? Are we exclusive? But as far as when to ask it, I think you have to evaluate do I feel secure in this relationship and do I think my partner is on the same page with me? I hope that answers your question.
Okay, great.
Any other questions?
And good luck. I hope I wish you tremendous happiness.
Any other questions, Joe?
No, that's it, Larry.
Okay, thank you for listening. Tell your friends. All about the show.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Joe. Anybody who wants to call in, 877-480-4120. Marnie, what are the tips? What's give me we have a minute left. Give me the number one tip. We're going to go in the reverse order of a top 10 list. We're going to start with the most important tip.
Great. Well, I think we've covered it. The main one is to go into the date feeling healthy. I cannot emphasize enough that if you come in not fully having grieved your loss, you know, the divorce, not feeling comfortable with yourself, and forgiving your partner, which maybe takes a while to get past the anger and to get there, the person on the date is going to know it. People sense this immediately. So come in as happy as you can be. Once you're there on the date, and I know we don't have a lot of time, but I would emphasize, don't talk about your ex. And I would say, I know one of your dating coaches said you can talk about your kids. I would like to offer a slightly different perspective on that.
Okay.
You know, everyone thinks their kids are the greatest and they want to talk about them. But often, you know, most people don't want to hear that much about other people's kids until they've gotten to know that person. So I'm not saying don't talk about them because, as your other coach mentioned, you want to show that it's important in your life. But not too soon. Get to know that other person first and let them get to know you. If you start showing too many pictures and telling stories about your kids, it's not going to be that interesting to the person across the table. At least not on a first or second date. So I would keep the topics to light, fun topics, travel, make yourself interesting. Do interesting things while you're waiting to meet that person. Live your life. And then just as far as, you know, the one quick thing people ask, what about changing in a protocol from when you were married? If you've been married 20 years, it's a different world.
We're going to talk about that when we come back.
Perfect.
I'm here with Marnie Gallison. Phone number 877-480-4120. I am Larry Bloom on the Divorce Hour here at TalkingAlternative.com.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Are you stuck in your business or career? Trying to take your business to the next level and it keeps hitting a wall? This is Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant. I will help you get to the root cause of your abundance issues and help move you forward in your life. Call me now and let's create the future you dream of. 212-721-8183. That's 212-721-8183. The Conscious Consultant. helping conscious people be better business people.
I really need to take better care of myself. If only I had someone to help me with my lifestyle. I feel like giving up.
Is this you? Mind Over Matter Health and Fitness can help. If you're expecting an epiphany, chances are it's not happening. Mind Over Matter Health and Fitness can help you get back on track or start a new life in fitness. Join Joshua Margolis, fitness expert, at 212-865-9290 or visit www.mindovermatternyc.com.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Frank James, Jesse James, Billy Kid, and all the rest. These some bad cats way out in the west. Those cats could have dug me in my gangster ways. They would have hung up their guns, dug it to the graves, because I'm a gangster.
Wow, Boogie.
A gangster of love.
She's still there.
I'm a gangster. Gangster of love. Now look here. Going to a bar, goes from near to far. I'm a gangster. A gangster of love. I jumped in my water's Cadillac. I rode across the borderline.
Steve Miller, Gangster of Love. Here's another song, The Joker, where he talks about the gangster of love. I didn't know that song existed. Go figure. I want to tell Amanda, my listener out there, we lost you on the line, so please call back. And we now have Michelle on the line. Hello, Michelle.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What can I do for you?
I had a question for Marnie, actually. I'm actually getting a little feedback right now on the phone, so I can't hear that well.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, good.
I was just wondering, how does she know when two people would be the right match? I mean, I know that there's online dating services, and I've done those before. That way you're doing it yourself and you see what people have to say about themselves, but how can she really tell if two people will be the right match?
That's a good question.
That's a great question. You know, when they study the psychology and the science of attraction, they say that old saying, opposites attract, is really meant for the movies. In reality, people who have very similar backgrounds tend to be good matches for each other, similar value systems, similar socioeconomic backgrounds, similar education, and family values. So that's a great starting point. I look at people's backgrounds, and I think they're going to get each other. They come from a similar background, and that really is what they say makes for a good relationship as a starting point. Not that there aren't the examples of polar opposites sticking together, but that's what I learn about my clients. From that point on, again, I mentioned earlier, I really listen to them and hear them about what they're looking for and what they need. And then again, I've had set people up, and I just felt really strongly, these two people are going to love each other. I know what she's looking for. I know what he's looking for. And it's a great match. That being said, there are times when on paper, everything should line up and there's no chemistry. And as much science as they can do, as much as you can match people, that's not an exact science. When there's chemistry, sometimes people don't seem like they're going to be a match and they hit it off. So in the end, I think, you know, you just got to do your best. You go, you try, and you see what happens.
Any other questions?
Okay. No, that was, I was just interested, and I think she pretty much answered it.
Well, thank you so much for listening, and please tell your friends about the show.
I will, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, well, have a good day.
Morning, let me ask you this. What about birth order?
They've done a lot of research into the birth order. I've read articles about that. I don't use that in my matching with people. I think it can tell you something. You know, is someone the youngest and where, you know, how does that affect that? But in the end, I think people's unique situations are so varied. You know, I might think about it. If someone's an only child, that's something else to take into consideration.
Or a middle child.
I've read about it. I don't know if there's enough conclusive data to really go off of it, but it's interesting.
Okay, now, do you only match your clients with each other, or do you go outside your client pool for a client?
Sure, great question.
Let's say I was your client. Would I only be matched with others of your clients or someone else?
It's possible as a client you might be matched with another client. I've certainly matched clients together. But if you become my client, I'm working for you. And I don't only match up client to client. You know, the whole realm of people in my database that are single in New York, that are quality people who are looking for a relationship, is a possible introduction. I am out constantly meeting new people.
I'm a little confused.
Sure.
How is your database put together? It's not just your clients?
No. Well, to start, I have my clients. They come on board. We work together. But from that point on, I'm always thinking of my clients.
Okay.
As a lawyer, I had to write a brief for work. Now I have to go to an event for work.
Poor baby.
It's a tough job, but someone's got to do it. I go to Republican events, and I'm not a Republican. I feel like a little bit, you know, they're going to find me out and kick me out. But some of my clients are Republicans, and I'll go because that's who they want to meet. So I'm always out looking. If I meet somebody who's now entered my database, I mean, some people in my database I know better than clients. I've known them since law school or, you know, through networking groups. I see them regularly. I know them. But if there's someone that I've just met and I'm going on, again, my skill that I bring to the table, being able to really figure out people, and then I will do my due diligence. Then I'll sit down with them over coffee or a drink for 2 hours. I do it all the time.
Wow.
And sometimes after 2 hours, I say not a match. But doesn't mean it's a waste of time because I'm sparing my clients that time.
Right.
More often than not, if I'm getting to that point where we're sitting down, because usually we speak on the phone first, it's a match. And then I can go back to my
client.
And
when you say it's a match, you mean it's somebody who you think might be good for one of your people down the road.
Absolutely, because I'm able to ask the questions that I would not recommend anybody go into on a first, second, or even third date. I'll find out about the religious views. I'll find out, you know, does this person want more children? That's a very relevant question for someone who's divorced, starting a second family. Sensitive topics, and I just something I would not recommend on a first date, but I'm able to ask relationship history. Why didn't the marriage work out? And with my clients, when they're divorced, I can, you know, talk about that with the prospective match in a way that it's going to eliminate those questions on the date, not being, you know, sharing too much that's personal, but kind of preempting those questions.
So, for instance, if I said, Marnie, someone who isn't sure that they want children or wants children is a deal breaker for me, you would eliminate those individuals from my search, your search for me.
Possibly. Certainly, if you told me you're not looking to have any more children, I know you have two wonderful boys we talked about before
the show. No, actually, I have a daughter and a son.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said you had two boys. Two children that are, you know, mature, grown children.
They're still children. They're always
they
children.
They always will be.
They're always children.
They're not
ask
infants.
Ask my father. He'll tell you.
Oh, yeah. The thought of maybe having a child is, you know, a new, you know, infant and diapers, again, is something that a lot of people who are divorced are not looking to do. Some people are open to it. But if you came to me and you said definitively, I'm not looking to meet a woman who wants that, the definite want children, I would eliminate. The not sure women, I would delve further. And I might even say, just meet her. Just meet her, see if there's chemistry, because a lot of times these things will resolve themselves. So that I might do that. Every case is unique.
Now, I have found, at least from online dating, that sometimes women will put, or men would put, not sure about children because they don't want to rule out someone who has children as opposed to having new children.
You mean on their profile, they're not sure. They put right. They're not sure because if a woman is coming with children?
Exactly.
Well, my advice... I found it more with women saying not sure, and my advice to them is either leave it blank or just say yes. And that's not being deceitful because they're not saying no. But as a woman, if you say not sure, and this is really talking to people who are more often than not divorced. They're start, you know, in their 20s or 30s. They're already losing a good segment of the men who think, well, I do, maybe not tomorrow. And I think these women who write Not Sure, if they fell in love and they met the right guy, it would become a yes. Maybe not for others, but I would hate to lose somebody as a potential great match, you know, either online or in person, a personal introduction, simply because they've written that. And I've coached some of my clients who, while they're working with me, are still online. I don't tell people stop, you know, living your life because
you
we're
never
working together.
Know.
You never know. And I've enabled people, and this was actually something very interesting to me. One of my clients who recently came on, we haven't even started. She's brand new. When I take on a client, sometimes we need to work out some of the image consulting that I am involved with my clients. So she was working on some of those things, fixing her, you know, new haircut, new look. And we were just about to set up her first date, and she said, you know, I've met somebody. We've only gone out 3 times, but I'm going to give you credit anyway. And I said, okay, I'll take it. She said, no, really. I felt so good that night going out because I started with you. You had already given me some feedback about what I can do to look my best, and I feel like that helped me meet this guy, and things are going so well. Let's just hold off on this first introduction just so I can focus on him. Now, my advice would be to, frankly, date a few people at once. I wouldn't tell someone stop, but she's just saying let's wait a week or two, and I'm okay with that.
But you just told Joe that it was okay to ask that question about exclusivity.
Well, it really depends on where you are in your relationship.
Okay.
I think after 3 dates, you will definitely scare people away by asking that.
Okay,
3 months, that's legitimate, so we got to know the circumstances.
Okay. There are 2 things I want to talk about. We're going to talk about it after the break. Unless someone calls in at 877-480-4120. And those 2 things are, because I don't want you to forget when I forget, dating protocol and sex.
So start on a good note, end on a good note.
That's right. So let's talk about those things when we get back. I'm here with Marnie Gallison. I am Larry Bloom, the host of Talking, not the host of Talking Alternative. I'm the host of The Divorce Hour here at TalkingAlternative.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
This is Tony Martinetti, the aptly named host of Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio. Big nonprofit ideas for the other 95%. Technology, fundraising, compliance, social media. Small and medium nonprofits have needs in all these areas. My guests are expert in all these areas and more. Tony Martinetti Nonprofit Radio, Fridays, 1 to 2 Eastern on Talking Alternative Broadcasting.
Do you want to enhance your company's web presence with an eye-catching and unique website design? Would you like to incorporate professional video marketing or mobile marketing into your organization's marketing campaign? Mission 101 Media offers a unique marketing experience that will set you apart from your competitors, magnify your brand exposure, and enhance your current marketing efforts. Their services include video production and editing, web design, graphic design, photography, social media management, and now introducing mobile marketing. Their motto is, we do whatever it takes to make our clients happy. Contact them today at mission101media.com.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
We are young, hearted to heart, we stand. No promises, no demands. Love is a battlefield.
Love is a battlefield, Pat Benatar. Actually, love is like oxygen. Too much will get you high, not enough, and you're going to die. I did not make that up.
I like it.
Thank you. It's a song. Actually, the last time before 2009 that I dated was 1982. I know from the mistakes I made in 2009 that the rules are different now than they were. Well, admittedly, I'm in my mid-50s now. I was, I don't know, my mid-20s then. So it's a whole different ballgame. I don't know if the rules have changed because of my age or the rules have changed.
Well, I think it's a combination. Dating is different in your 20s than it is in your 50s or 60s. And also, times have changed. I think people come out, you know, they're shell-shocked because the technology that was not existing back in the 80s or very preliminary is now the norm. You know, as far as the BlackBerry is accessible all the time, text messaging, I don't think this is really news to anybody. But guys,
let me give my listeners one piece of advice.
Sure, go ahead.
On your BlackBerry and on your phone, there's a button that says ignore. You're allowed to use that button.
Of course. I think that people should, especially in the beginning, know a happy level of communication that's not needy. You don't have to be talking constantly.
Right.
It's so easy to be in touch constantly, and you really have to pace yourself. But I would like to offer a counter to your advice, and that is the opposite of texting is pick up the phone and answer or make a call.
Oh, I meant when you were with someone and your phone rings.
Oh, I misunderstood.
That's what I meant.
Because the danger is too, I think, for some people to immediately they go on a date and now they're constantly IMing or, you know, what's it, BBMing, and I you know, I don't really do too much of that. But that's the other side of the coin. But I agree, and that's an old. I love that you just said that because that's an old school value system. You pick up the phone, you call somebody when you're looking to spend time with them, and when you're on a date with somebody, you leave your BlackBerry in your, you know, purse or in your bag or in your wallet, in your pocket.
Right.
But there are so many people who will be constantly checking their BlackBerry when they're on a date, and obviously that leaves a very, very bad impression.
That does leave a bad impression.
Very bad. I've heard it a lot.
I have seen that happen, and I know that that person's not getting another date.
Well, it's foolish because, you know, if someone has something so pressing, I think the first thing they should say when they walk into the date is, you know what, I'm thrilled to be here and I'm so happy to see you.
I just want you to know that.
I have a deal going on, you know, $10 million deal, and I just have to check in every 15, 20 minutes because my junior, you know, colleagues may need my help. At least that person would then know, okay, he has a reason for doing this. Best thing is don't go into a date if you got the crazy, you know, critical stuff happening. But if you have to, just explain. But the next thing I was going to say about the text messaging, because I wish that divorced and never married men alike will listen and perk up when they hear this, because this is really valuable advice. If you go on a great date with somebody and you follow up with a text message, half the women are immediately going to respond negatively to that. If they're in their 20s, they may not quite as much, but certainly women who have grown up with the, you know, the phone as the main way to communicate, a phone call, live call, it just is such a lazy approach.
It's also impersonal.
And it shows that your level of interest is just a notch below what they really want. It, you know, a phone call makes such an impact. And at some point, if you keep writing, hey, what's going on? How are you? I'm at the grocery store. And this happens. They're going to stop responding. Either ask me out again or, why are you writing to me? Don't bother me.
And we're almost out of time and we didn't get to talk about sex. That means you're going to have to come back.
All right. I'll take you up on
but
it.
But let's... what's too much? What's too much contact?
Well, like we were just saying when I thought you
were I'm not talking about...
Forget the text and phone, and
the email. But when do you talk to somebody every day? When do you...
You know, that's a tough one because I really believe in this instance, it's so much about the people. You can do your pacing out your dates and not talking every day for a month or two and then get closer. That may or may not lead to an intimate, fulfilling relationship. Or you can have a great first few dates and you find yourselves wanting to see each other every day. As long as it's coming out of a sense of you're already happy and that person's enhancing your happiness as opposed to looking to see that person every day because you can't cope with what's happening in your life or you need them. Ultimately, I think that's going to backfire. So I think pacing what you're both comfortable with, having breaks. Breaks are always good. Go out with your girlfriends, go out with your guy friends, see your children.
Oh, I agree. Don't give up your friends. And
no.
I have always said that one of the benefits of a bad marriage is that you have a lot of good friends.
Sure.
So, you know, look, I love going out with the guys. If I didn't have male friends, I would have been dead because I was dead in my marriage. I have been lax in my duties. Marnie, please tell our listeners how they can reach you again.
Oh, no, you have not been lacked. You've been wonderful. And I'll just emphasize again, the website is sundayatnoon.com. You can just put in that and you'll find all the information about my background, my blogs, my events, and the contact link, which you can click on to and send an email with your information. And we can go from there. And again, I'm on Facebook. I think everyone should get on Facebook if they're single. It's a great way to meet people. It's in a lot of ways better than online because you really see what someone's about on Facebook. You see their life and you can make, I mean, and maybe
you see
too
what
much.
And you see what people post on their walls.
You really can learn a lot about someone on Facebook. I would like to know how many marriages have come out of Facebook because
we're
going
to talk about that. I definitely want you to come back.
Great.
Okay. Because so we have to talk about sex.
We do. But
that's one of the benefits of your job and my job. We get to talk about sex for a living.
And it's usually fun. I have my caveats with men on the rushing into the sexual relationship.
We will definitely talk about that.
Great.
This has been the Divorce Hour. I am so pleased to have had Marnie Gallison as my guest. I'm going to hold her to coming back again. This is the Divorce Hour. I am Larry Bloom. If you like what you hear, tell your friends. Tell them all about the Talking Alternative Network. Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks for having me.
Bomba dida, 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 bomba about the clouds when we're together. Just sing a song and think about sunny weather. Happy trails to you till we meet again.